In our study today, we shall see some more people coming to Christ. There is no doubt about the power of the transforming gospel. The problem is, many who are lost do nothing about God's great salvation. I hope this isn't true of you. We consider now the events of the fourth day in the record of the Apostle John. On the first day, John the Baptist was confronted by a delegation of priests and Levites from Jerusalem. On the second day, he made his notable declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." On the third day, Andrew and his friend became followers of Christ, after which Andrew brought his brother Simon to the Lord. On the fourth day, Philip and Nathanael were won to Christ. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." While Andrew and his companion were led to follow Christ through the witness of John the Baptist, and Simon was brought to the Lord through the fervent testimony of his brother Andrew, Philip came to Christ without any human intervention whatsoever. God may or may not choose to use human instruments in drawing the lost to Christ. Though the Scriptures strongly emphasize the human element in soul winning, we see also that our almighty and sovereign God is not limited to the efforts of his people. Though the method of Philip's conversion differed from that of the other three men, the basic belief was the same. Believers must guard against the error of trying to get others to duplicate their own personal experience in salvation. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, "There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, but at the same time there is a diversity of operations by the Spirit." The important thing is not so much how you were saved, but are you saved? Some go forward to the altar in an evangelistic meeting. Others receive Christ in the quietness of their own homes. Some experience a remarkable transformation from lives of immorality and gross evil. Others take only a short step from the experience of being reared in a Christian home to sincere faith in the Son of God. The methods may differ, but actual conversion and commitment must be the same, through faith in the Son of the living God. Wasn't it quite a risk for Philip to leave his business, his loved ones, and his hometown of Bethsaida to follow a man he knew little about? Yes, in a sense it was. This is one reason why many do not follow Christ. They look to their possessions, their security, their loved ones, and refuse to look beyond these with the eye of faith and consider the Lamb of God. The important thing is that Philip must have realized when he heard those words, "Follow me," that God had said it, and that was enough for him. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, we read in verse 44. Some have conjectured that after Andrew and Peter had been converted, they urged the Lord Jesus to go and talk to their friend Philip. There appears to be a definite relationship between the conversion of Andrew and Peter and that of Philip. Was Philip really converted? Well, there's no question in my mind. Look at verse 45. "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Christianity is contagious. Simon found Peter, and Philip found Nathanael. Nathanael was not altogether responsive to Philip's enthusiasm, for he replied, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was an obscure town of questionable reputation. His hasty recollection of the Scriptures did not name Nazareth as the predicted place for the Messiah's birth. Philip did not argue. He did not try to reason with Nathanael. He did the best thing anyone can do in witnessing for Christ. He said, "Come and see." First, he said, "We have found him." Next, he invited Nathanael to come and see for himself. People may resist arguments. They may spurn pleadings, but they can never completely ignore the clear-cut testimony of one's personal experience with Christ, with a kindly invitation to believe and see for oneself. Following Philip's invitation to come and see, Nathanael responded immediately. Soon they neared the Lord Jesus and saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael must have been prayerfully and patiently awaiting the coming of the expected Messiah, like the devout Simeon and Anna. What Christ had to say about Nathanael suggests the words of Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." As the son of Abraham, Nathanael had lived up to all the light he had received. How surprised Nathanael must have been to find that Christ knew him. Thus he asked, "Whence knowest thou me?" The Lord Jesus replied, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." He knew all about Nathanael, as he knows all about you and me. Christ's words evoked a startling declaration from the lips of this devout Jew. "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Nathanael told the whole story here. As the Son of God, the Lord Jesus possesses all power in heaven and earth to save and transform. Those who believe on him are to submit themselves fully unto him as his subjects. The Lord Jesus had a further word for Nathanael. "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." There is always an open heaven for those who claim Christ as Lord. We have the open heaven in prayer. There is the open heaven in the time of death. We go immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But greatest of all, there will be the open heaven when Christ comes back to rule and reign, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This will be the glorious return of the Son of God to rule on the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. Nathanael had named Christ as the King of Israel. The Lord then told him explicitly when the king will establish his kingdom. Notice that verse 50 says, "Thou shalt see," but verse 51 says, "Ye shall see." Not only will Nathanael see the Lord, but "ye shall see" means that all believers will see Christ when he returns in glory. This is the believer's blessed hope. In fact, it's the only hope. As we focus our attention on the earth-shaking events of our present civilization, it is easy to become discouraged and distraught. But listen, God is not finished. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." This is the word of God, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. Thus, believers in Jesus Christ, let us keep looking up. "For ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." But while we look up, let us faithfully witness, giving forth the evidence of the indwelling Christ through transformed lives. And my dear friend, if you're not a child of God, I urge you to be ready when the Lord comes. And you can only be ready as you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And when you believe on him, you are born into the family of God, never to be lost, but saved unto everlasting life, the Bible says. I hope if you've never trusted Christ, that right now you'll bow your head and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I am sorry for the things I have done, but I realize that you died for all my sins. And at this very moment, I claim you as my Savior and Lord. Christ will enter your life, never to leave. Trust him right now as we pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our soon coming King. Help us to live in the light of his coming, watching, waiting, and working. I pray for those who need him, that just now they may call upon him and receive him as Savior and Lord and know the joy of everlasting life. Have your way in many hearts, I pray, for I ask in the name and for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.